AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Let's charge into the holiday weekend with a free-for-all on the agenda. Conservation policy, energy policy, foreign policy, monetary policy, dairy policy, trade policy, pandemic policy. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks.
Live from the apex conversation of one of those weeks, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and we welcome Michelle Jones. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Valori.
You know, you're going to have to quit doing that.
What's that?
Taking something from my open and using it as part of your open. People are going to start to think that we actually communicate about what we're going to talk about before we actually go on the air.
You know, something in my brain told me you were going to say exactly that.
That was me.
That's weird.
That was me in your brain, man.
Wow.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. And
hello.
It is Friday. And time for a free-for-all. I am looking forward. I am looking forward to the conversation. Like I said, there are so many things happening. And the news is kind of just, you know, it's originating in D.C. this week on many different levels. And when I said energy policy,
yeah,
guys, believe me, I'm including biofuels policy in that, because there are some moving parts big time on the biofuels policy. And if you thought they were moving this week and there was all kinds of positioning happening this week, wait until next week when we start to get to EPA's deadlines on renewable volume obligations and many, many other issues. Like we talked about with Jeff, Jeff Cooper from RFA yesterday, when we get those RVOs for 2021, 2022, the finals, we are also expected to take kind of a get the final results on some pending 65 small refinery exemption requests that are out there. So lots of activity on the biofuels front and energy policy. Energy policy in general going forward, dude. So,
right on.
Yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover. Should we go ahead and get started with what you got in the news?
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, my God.
Weird. Well, Chip, get this. According to the National Weather Service, snow, severe storms, and triple-digit heat are expected across the U.S. this Memorial Day weekend. More than a foot of snow is expected in the northern Rockies at higher elevations. Cooler temperatures and wet conditions will impact the entire Northwest from Oregon to North Dakota. Some western coastal areas will receive wet weather first thing starting Saturday. Meanwhile, triple-digit heat is expected to descend on Texas and other neighboring states. A wild Memorial Day for weather, sounds like.
Well, and what a wild week of weather that we've already had with the severe storms down in Texas earlier this week made their way into kind of, you know, north of the southern areas and all the way to the East Coast with some severe weathers. There's flood risk today on the East Coast. It's been kind of a mess.
Well, mortgage rates are beginning to soften after hitting levels unseen in more than a decade. According to Freddie Mac, the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage fell for the second week in a row to 5.10%. That's following the steepest rise in decades. Rates peaked at 5.3% earlier in May. That was the highest level since 2009 and well above the 2.94% average rate from a year earlier. Mortgage rates are falling as the red-hot housing market shows signs that it is beginning to cool.
Yeah, and for the first time in some time, I don't remember the exact parameters on this, but up to 20% of the houses on the market are seeing a drop in the asking price.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest percent that have seen a drop in the asking price since this housing market boom started again.
Well, Congressional Budget Office Director Philip Swagel tried to deflect criticism from Republican lawmakers over his office's baseline budget projections for 2022, acknowledging that inflation has continued at a pace faster than CBO projected. Swagel noted CBO had to lock its numbers in place much earlier in the Russian invasion of Ukraine. A lot of variables, and the CBO kind of taking some heat there, because
yeah.
you can't account for all these variables in a budget, can you?
Well, no, absolutely you can't. These are happenings that were unexpected and must be, you've got to have the flexibility to account for it later, and it makes a bit of a mess, no
yes.
doubt.
I'm just going to lob this one out there and let Jim handle any specifics you might want. But USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack at Thursday's Senate Ag Committee hearing discussed a wide array of topics critical
yep.
to the ag sector, including inflation and its impact on farmers.
Okay. I'm just going to throw this out there. Here's the mm-hmm. deal. We are going to get some of the details from Wiesmeyer on what was said at the hearing, and we'll get an update there. But I didn't see it all. I did not see it all, but I just got to say, I don't agree with Tom Vilsack on all issues,
mm-hmm.
but his ability to stand in front of a hearing, I don't care if it's a House or a Senate hearing,
mm-hmm.
his command of the issues that he has to deal with on that day, he's very, very good in front of yeah. a high-level audience. Very impressive.
Well, the Federal Reserve is considering ways to blunt any impact on commercial bank deposits if the U.S. government decides to issue a digital dollar, according to the central bank's vice chair. Banking industry lobbying groups have asked the government to hold off on launching a central bank digital currency on concerns that it may sap money from the banking system and make credit less available to businesses and households. Chip gasoline demand is falling, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. Excluding 2020's steep drop in demand during the pandemic lockdowns, the last time average demand for this time of year was lower was in 2013. Meanwhile, gas prices continue to rise. The average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline in the United States is 51% above year ago and a new all-time high again.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I'm going to go on a driving vacation here in the next couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, as soon as I get out there on the road, that'll probably be the peak.
I would imagine so. Yes, and as
yeah.
long as you don't eat along the way, I think you'll be fine. You
yeah,
should be
I'll
able
be
to afford it.
I'll be
yeah,
fine.
You'll be fine. According to Bloomberg, the June spot price in Tampa, Florida, for ammonia nitrogen fertilizer settled at $1,000 per metric ton. That's a 30%
wow.
drop from May. Southeast Asia and other places are seeing more buyers who are unwilling to pay the record high prices that were seen in April and May, and the cost of ammonia production has declined as European natural gas prices fell in the second quarter. And finally, Chip, this is interesting. The Russian ruble strengthened this week to levels not seen since 2018, making the currency the second best performer against the dollar this year based on a Dow Jones market data analysis. This despite severe sanctions from the West, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah, just checking the radar. There are all kinds of tornado watches and thunderstorm watches from North Carolina up to New York State. So be aware out there. Oh,
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, where their science allows you to maximize your genetic potential. Learn more at UnitedANH.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us for the free-for-all. Before Joe kicked me out there so that he could actually get some business done at the end of the first segment, I was going to say that area of severe weather is exactly where Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer is. Jim, are you okay? Is the weather okay?
We're going to get rain most of the day, but they just cut my grass, so I'm happy.
Oh, well, good. Good. Yes. I'm glad that somebody got that done for you. All right. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Sean, welcome.
Hey, great to be here, Chip.
All right, and back again, Michelle Jones, Montana farmer that spends quite a bit of time over in the Seattle area, but she's here to talk farm policy and what's going on. Michelle, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, glad that you are here. What's the situation up in Montana? How are things looking?
It really depends on where you're standing. Some areas have seen some pretty decent drought improvement, including where we live, right, where we farm. We're actually in decent shape. But you get up in north central Montana, up closer to where Sean lives, and they're still in really, really rough shape. We are expecting to get a pretty big spring storm this weekend, one we haven't seen for 2 years. So fingers crossed that that comes through. It's going to miss the main growing areas up in north central Montana, but for south central and some other places, it's going to be a pretty big deal.
Okay. What is the status on you getting everything in the ground? Is everything done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's done in Montana for the most, at least in our area. It's been done for a while. We're getting pretty late for us to see. There's probably some still out in northern Montana, either drought-driven or rain-driven, but Montana seeding progress is pretty good.
Okay, very good. Very good. Guys, I want to start with energy policy, because we talked about this last week, that in testimony, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland refused to answer the question, are gas prices too high? And then also in testimony, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said that the fuel prices, high fuel prices for consumers will accelerate the transition to clean energy. And then we kind of came to the conclusion that it's by design. And then early this week, Monday morning, President Biden in Japan described it as a incredible transition that the country is going through. Jim, we talked about it on Signal to Noise on Monday morning. I think we got to talk about it again right now. I haven't seen any evidence this week that would counter the idea that what is happening with energy prices is by design.
Well, it's incredible. That's the right word, because the average price for unleaded gasoline was, what, $4.60 on May 27th. That's a 51% jump from last year. But Biden did say it. It's an incredible transition. And basically, this will move us a more accelerated pace to renewable fuels and really electric vehicles.
Right. It's a great transition to having no money in your bank account is what it is.
There you go. It is a transition that is happening without transition. Do you get what I mean? I mean, they are expecting. Granholm said it. She basically said, "Listen, go get an electric car." I'm interested, Michelle. How is all this playing in the PNW?
I mean, I think in the PNW, and I think it highlights where we have some challenges with ethanol and the way we sell biofuels is that, I mean, the push is to EVs. You know, there's EV chargers everywhere. There's tax rebates for both state and federal for switching to an EV vehicle. And when I drive down the street, a lot of gas stations, they have flags that say that they have ethanol free gas. Well, great. I mean, that's where we're, and that's where we're missing the opportunity to really sell that, is lowering your carbon footprint without having to buy a new vehicle. Because the thought that people are just going to up and buy an EV is insane. I mean, the price of gas in California and some stations is above the federal minimum wage. Like, yeah, people are not just going to go buy EVs because they can't afford it. And so we're not talking about using more higher blended ethanol, where you don't actually have to go buy a new vehicle. All you have to do is hit a different button at the pump and be able to lower your personal carbon footprint.
But, so why such the promotion of ethanol-free gas? Is that the consumer's choice?
I think the consumer has no idea. I've asked a couple of coworkers, and, you know, just casually, like, what they think, and they don't know or understand what ethanol is, or, you know, what its benefits are. They just have no idea. And so when you see that at the gas station, it's like buying a paraben-free shampoo. Like, you don't know anything about it. Sure, it makes sense. Like, why not buy it? So if you don't know anything about it in terms of ethanol, like, sure, why not buy it? Because they're advertising it. So there must be a reason that they're advertising it.
Haney, yeah, you know, Michelle, sorry, Chip.
No, you go.
Oh, Michelle, I filled up in Shelby, Montana a couple weeks ago, and it's like at the gas station there, and it says on the pump, warning, may contain 10% ethanol. It was like the back of a pack of cigarettes or something.
Yeah.
It's it's so funny.
That's incredible.
But I say it's funny, like, but at the same time, it's that deters demand, right? Because yeah, it's, well, like, oh, exactly. Whoa, something must be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's like the may contain GMOs. Okay. I think that's probably better because we're doing things more efficiently that way. But unless you understand it, you can be so easily deceived and confused by the messaging that takes place out there, Jim. And I don't think that it's like I said last week, I think the administration is we've got to watch them very closely next week, EPA, Jim, because they're going to be getting ready to come with the RVOs 21-22. The judgment or the final decision on those SREs are coming. Now, if it is pro-ethanol, that is pro-combustible engine decisions. And with the signals that I feel like we are getting from the administration right now, I don't think we can count on that anymore, regardless of what Administrator Michael Regan says. I don't think we can count on that just simply because pro-ethanol would be extending the life of fossil fuels.
Well, if it's not 15 billion gallons solid for ethanol, corn-based ethanol, Chip, yeah, and I don't like to see this, hope it doesn't happen, but EPA Administrator Regan loses credibility, period.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I know you should see the battles going on in the White House between the National Economic Council, OMB, frothing about these high gas prices. But yet you have the energy gurus saying, as you said before, this is a means to an end, in being their green energy.
Yeah. You know, and when you talk about green energy, for so long, my initial thought was, well, that's good because we're talking about biofuels. No. When they say green energy, they're talking about wind turbines and solar panels, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The end of oil as we know it. That's basically their agenda. But they want to get there next year. You know, you just can't do it. And then my elitist neighbor comes over to me, and he's got an electric car, which is nice, and he points out all the money he's saving right now.
Right.
I can't wait to see how, you know, Beto O'Rourke, as an example, tries to win the governorship in Texas and has to explain to people in Texas how this is all good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe flies in Austin, but I don't know if it does in other places like Houston.
Right. Yeah, boy, you got that right. You got that right. Now, one other thing is that I want to mention before we get to the end of the segment and move on to another topic. There was a study that was done by the Department of Energy, Purdue University, the University of Illinois, that looked at the conclusions drawn by the report that was done by Tyler Lark at the University of Wisconsin that just flat out attacked the RFS and said that it's caused more problems than it has solved. That study from the Department of Energy, Purdue University, University of Illinois, basically said that the Lark study is crap and should not be taken seriously. We talked with Jeff Cooper from the RFS about it yesterday. He obviously was encouraged by the new study from Department of Energy, Purdue University, University of Illinois. But at the same time, what Lark said and the quote-unquote conclusions drawn in that report are still out there, and they still need to be refuted. It's putting out a fire that shouldn't have been lit to begin with. We'll continue the free-for-all next.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beads, we've been talking about the unwillingness of corn this week to participate in a move to the upside, and today it kind of feels like it may be leading the way.
Well, it's actively participating, that's for sure. Yep. I would say that spring wheat futures are probably leading us to the upside, Chip.
Because of the
concerns with planting delays in Minnesota and North Dakota in particular. So that market really charged to the upside. Winter wheat futures followed spring wheat, and now the corn market's actively engaged as well. So good strong strength there across the grain markets. And we're also seeing strength in soybeans and soy meal, while soy oil is trading to the downside here mid-morning.
Yeah, well, you got crude oil under a little bit of pressure, but boy, crude oil is higher on the week, and soybean oil has been responding to that as well. I don't think there's any question about that. Hey, short trading week in the week ahead, but it's going to be all about weather, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're now into a time frame where, weather and can't forget about all the other stuff, the macroeconomic stuff,
right,
and the global stuff that's going on and everything. So there's a lot for traders to focus on. But I think that weather here in the United States will be the primary focus.
Yeah. And just a reminder, watch for those surveys, the June acreage report. They're going to be surveying for actual plantings here over the next couple of weeks. Take us livestock trade here real quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty quiet, to be honest with you. Live cattle futures mildly favoring the upside. Feeder cattle, because of the strength in corn, they're mildly favoring the downside, although seller interest isn't real active there.
Right.
And then the hog market, mostly firmer here to close out the week.
All right, good stuff, Brian. You have a good weekend. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to the Free For All here on AgriTalk. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Michelle Jones with us. Jim, we got the details. Since we last talked on the Free For All, we got the details of what we had been waiting for quite some time. The program moved from WIP to WIP Plus, and now it is the ERP, the Emergency Relief Program. Tell us about it.
Well, the money is going out, $6 billion, and farmers by now should have gotten the letter explaining the other details. They don't really even have to sign up. It's going to be sent auto. And, you know, with the second one coming later, you know, this year. But that's much needed cash flow in many areas of the U.S., Chip. I think Michelle will acknowledge that as well. This is the top email I get, and the money is coming if it's not there yet.
Yeah, the applications for the funds are, it's basically pre-filled out for you.
Yes.
And, you know, you're going to get in the email and turn around and send it back. Michelle, have you gotten it?
I have not gotten a letter. I have not been home since, I don't think I've gotten the mail since Wednesday, but hopefully by the time I get home, it is there. I definitely am is much needed cash flow in our areas. I will say for the livestock portion, our LFP payment for whatever, some unknown reason was held up for a really long time. We actually got the ERP payment for livestock before we got the LFP. So they did turn the livestock ones around in a hurry. So hopefully we'll be able to do that with the crop ones because it's definitely needed.
Yeah, it is clearly needed. And it's going to provide some much needed relief in some areas, no doubt. Okay. Jim, there's a new filing of a U.S. case against Canada Dairy. I don't mean to start any fights here on the show, but what's the latest?
I'll have a fight amongst U.S. dairy groups once we're done. July 1st, 2020 is when USMCA was entered into force, Chip. And then the initial dairy dispute, U.S. against China, against Canada's dairy, the U.S. requested a panel be established May the 25th, 2021, with a final report issued December the 20th. Now, you had, before this latest information, you had several dairy groups urging that if Canada didn't follow suit with what they said was the determination of this dispute panel, that we should retaliate. Vilsack even said, stay tuned. But then they announced that another case was being filed. And the dairy groups that I mentioned before that was urging retaliation went mum. They just patted the administration on the back, which tells me I'm not quite sure what's going on with our U.S. dairy groups. Am I missing something, Sean?
Yeah, this is an interesting read on what, you know, the change potentially in pace here. I'm somewhat confused here, or I lack clarity on how we actually get to a resolution. And we are forging, you know, we're on new ground here because this is the first use of these dispute panels under this agreement. As Jim has mentioned before, this was supposed to be a speedy process. And it feels very much like what we had before, which is just, you know, the best strategy is to wait it out. USTR TIE said that, you know, Canada has actually moved further away from compliance. Canada keeps on saying, we have no idea what you're talking about. Read the text. And we're no closer to any sort of a resolution at this point. So I don't know how we solve this without it getting heightened, or these two industries where we're talking about really, really a small amount of product. Just figure this out. It almost, and I know inside the dairy sphere in the bubble, they're probably like throwing stuff at the radio right now because it's like, this is a big deal. It just feels like this is something that should be just get solved. Like, come on.
But again, Sean, the U.S. is filing another case. Does that suggest that the trade lawyers in the U.S., who would not win, you know, many awards in my judgment, are they signaling that they probably didn't have the grounds for retaliation?
That is possible. Remember, the U.S. always talks about how, hey, we won the dispute panel.
Yes.
They won one of the four pieces that were being challenged. Canada also said they won the first dispute panel. They got three of the four. And so maybe this is the U.S. trying to go back to try to get more ground in more than one of those four areas. I have not read the specifics of the text, if it's out, on this dispute, if it's changed at all. But that may be what they're doing.
Okay. Well, Krista Harden, president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, the quote that she has, what she said, makes me think that they're going to push this fairly hard. She said, if we allow Canada to simply ignore its clear obligations, it will set a dangerous and damaging precedent. So USDEC is going to be pushing this pretty hard, aren't they, Jim?
Yeah, but they said that a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so what has really changed? You know?
Yeah. And what's the what precedent? Is that for other precedents inside of dairy, or are they trying to give a signal to the White House that, hey, you know, this could lead to issues with the auto sector or something like that? And trying to provide a bit of a bigger picture context to it. That statement is a little bit vague.
Okay.
I think the latter part of that statement is what I would be pushing if I was Harden, is that this is the first real test of dispute resolution under the new agreement. And it's obvious that it's not an improvement like it was touted to be over the original. So if I was messaging that, that's what I would use.
Gotcha. Yes. Gotcha. Interesting point there, Michelle. Good stuff. Jim, again, back to Monday for when we did Signal to Noise. We previewed Secretary Vilsack's testimony on Capitol Hill this week, and you said, "Watch out! Sometimes he likes to make news before he goes to the."
Did he ever?
That's right. Tell us about the changes to the CRP.
The morning of the conference the hearing, they put out an extended release on poultry competition.
Yep.
And then he announced some of the CRP stuff that they want to do and will do. So yeah, it was loaded with stuff. But you know, at the hearing, he also revealed that it wasn't widely reported, Chip, that he revealed that USDA is also filing a study that was done on competition in the fertilizer and equipment retail and seed area. So that's to be determined there. But I agree with what you said. He was in force there on a potpourri of items, and as usual, quite articulate, but they focused a lot on crop insurance and prevent plant. And there was a letter sent, and it's going to be market sensitive, by bipartisan group, Klobuchar, Hoeven, Thune. Lawmakers want any reduction due to the 1% per day reduction after the final plant date be filled by USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation, so both the producer and the crop insurance are whole. I would watch that, because Vilsack said that they're reviewing it.
You know, right. I agree with his ability to be articulate and have such, you know, it is his second time through this.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
You know, he knows the issues well, but
he is the most experienced USDA secretary ever.
And what I thought as I watched parts of it is his talent being wasted at USDA.
You kind of wonder if they're not going to start to roll them out there in front of larger and larger crowds. That's for sure. I mean, Hoeven and Thune ask him a question, and you can tell that they've got a little bit of that, "I'm going to get you," on, you know, in that question, because they make their statement, then they ask the question, and Vilsack answers it, and they sit there and they look at him and they listen to him and they say, "Thank you." It's you don't see that with any other cabinet member. You
don't compare that to the Interior Secretary.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or Mayorkas, when he was testifying, there was none of that.
Well, don't get me going on that guy. You talk about an open border fanatic. But Vilsack is the not only the gentleman in the room, but he's the most intelligent one in most rooms. And that showed through. That's why I spent a lot of hours last night going through the hearing, because I wanted producers, Pro Farmer members, to see a number of issues that he addressed quite succinctly and in depth.
In depth. That's right. Yes. That's right. Any other nuggets that you found as you were going through that, Jim?
Well, he revealed that USDA wasn't consulted on the Roundup glyphosate herbicide issue under questioning Chuck Grassley from Iowa. And then he went into a resounding defense that glyphosate is critical for maintaining U.S. crop production and addressing climate change. So there's tells you the friction within the Biden administration, EPA, Energy Department, FDA on all these issues, Chip.
Yeah, like I said, I don't agree with Secretary Vilsack on every topic. What I do appreciate about the secretary is his willingness to think, and to express his thoughts and to do it as well as he does. Jim, that's you compare that to the others in the cabinet, and they... Others in the cabinet, it's like they're here for the ride.
He should be chief of staff. Should be chief of staff at the White House.
That's right. That's right. I won't ever say that talents are being wasted on agriculture either, Haney. I just can't do that.
You know what I meant.
You know what you meant. Sorry. We'll be back with more of the Free for All here in a moment.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free For All. We're going to wrap things up. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio's Sean Haney, and Montana farmer Michelle Jones. Michelle, some good news. I don't know if you're seeing it yet, but fertilizer prices look like they might be starting to back off a little bit.
I did see that this morning, which is definitely welcome news. We're actually booked for 23 right now, which we got a good price when we booked it. I'm still fine with it, even if it does go back down some more. But it is definitely welcome news. I was interested in, don't track fertilizer prices enough. It's really something for Davis to weigh in on is what is the seasonality? You know, is this decrease a seasonality factor, or is it truly something that's going to be an indicator for fall prices?
Part of me wonders, we saw a production hole there for a while, and then all of a sudden nitrogen manufacturers in Europe came back online, and I just wonder if this isn't kind of a bit of a temporary surge from that, and if we see another rise in natural gas prices, if it's going to create another production hole.
You know, but if we see the commodity market hold, you know, or go higher from here based on some of the supply issues we have, and we see, you know, even a temporary dip in fertilizer prices, be paying attention. That might be a very, very good opportunity to lock in some margin on that difference.
Yes.
I would second that wholeheartedly. Yep.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, when we bought ours a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still okay with it, but then I turned around and sold some 2023 crop on the board, and So I'm not super concerned about what the market does because there is some profit locked in for what we priced it at.
Good. Yep. Good. Yeah. You know, are you going to market on price or are you going to market on profit? And Michelle, it sounds like what you're doing is you're looking out at that 23 and saying, listen, we can market on profit right now. Let's go ahead and get some of that done.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Jim, the Biden administration is considering sending advanced long-range weapon systems into Ukraine. What's the latest there?
This still goes into U.S. high-level talks with European officials to try to free up some of the 20 to 22 million tons of grain locked up in Ukraine. And I just think it's a matter of time, Chip. This is one of the several options, and it's getting serious now.
Okay. You know, the whole situation in Ukraine, by the way, Jim and I are going to be taking part in a Farm Country update for Farm Journal on June 1, talking about what's going on with former USDA chief economist Joe Glauber. We've got that coming up on June 1. And Yevgeny, Tikhonchenko from Ukraine is going to be sitting in on that conversation with us as well. But the whole situation, the idea that we're going to send warships in to the Black Sea region to escort the grain shipments out. Jim, I'm not too sure if there's the momentum behind that anymore. Is there?
Well, the administration is leaning towards sending the systems. And we're going to find out something next week because CNN reported a larger package of military and security aid to Ukraine is going to be announced as soon as next week. So stay tuned there.
Okay. One of the interesting conversations that I had this week was with Bill Scriber. Bill Scriber is the director of the Port of Oswego on Lake Ontario. That's in Upper New York. And he said that they're moving more grain. They're not moving a lot of grain, but they're moving more grain than what they have, and it's because of lost supplies out of Ukraine. Jim, could the Seaway, it sounds to me like the Seaway, the St. Lawrence Seaway, is going to open up for business on more grain going forward.
Let's hope so, because I think this is the long-term process that we're going to see sourcing even more out of this great country, Chip, importing and exporting. And I think it's as a result of both China, Russia, and other dastardly nations of the world. So that's the long-term gain that we're seeing to the modified globalization.
And well, changes to those traditional trade patterns,
yes,
right?
Yep.
It's shifting where things are going, what's coming in, what's going out, and what their final destinations are. And if you've put the work in on market development over a number of years, some of those relationships, they're potentially going to really come home to roost right now from a positive side.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say it opens up two great countries to more grain shipments, right, Amy?
We just need to have the supply.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which was a big challenge last year, and we still got time to improve on that. But yeah, there's in high quality products that the world needs, and the supply issue has not gone away. And it's there still is a huge opportunity from a to feel bullish about this market.
Right.
Not good for livestock producers. They are hurting significantly. But yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be positive on the export side.
Well, there was a thing for our rice listeners, Chip. Bloomberg had a major report yesterday that India's next food protection target may be rice. Now, they have enough in stocks now, but they had a high-level committee meet in India on this. So there was something brewing. Reuters denied that they would, halt exports. I think it's too soon for that. But you talk about the next leg up in the world situation. If India bans rice exports, watch out. Oh. U.S. rice producers, however, will finally see a concerted price rise.
Yeah, rice still has not really participated in the inflationary move that we've seen in the grains.
No, and Vilsack was asked that yesterday at the hearing, and he said they're reviewing it. And so I would watch out for that one as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Michelle Jones, it was fun to talk with you again. Thank you for making time.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Haney, I'm looking at the radar. Are you getting rain?
A small shower. But you know what? We'll take it. But we need more to come.
Right. Just need more. Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
You too.
All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, thanks, man. Get the newsletter done.
Will do.
All right. Come back this afternoon. We've got Steve Georgie from Allendale. And get this. Monday morning, Memorial Day, we're going to have our conversation with Machinery Peep. We're going to talk with energy analyst Jordan Fife. And we are going to learn about the Farmer Veteran Coalition. Guys, there's some really good things that are happening out in the country, and this is one of them. Come back this afternoon. This is AgriTalk.